I'm glad to be here. Just to let you know, there's a plumber in the house, and he's just about done, like maybe, 20 minutes or so. So if there's an interruption, which hopefully there won't be, I kind of explained to him that I would be with you guys, and he could let himself out. But just in case something goes awry, yes, there may be an interruption, so just thought I'd let you know. I'm sitting, and glad to be sitting. One of the beliefs I have is that moving is really hard. The fact that it takes what I call some ass to move. You have to be strong like bull. And my mom was kind of a strong like bull gal, even though she wasn't a big gal per se. My mom was not afraid to get her done, as they say in the South, where I've lived. And so we've been moving all week, and we're finally in. Last night was our first night in the house, on clean sheets, no less. So I'm stoked, but I'm also kind of loopy. I fell asleep last night, listening to Gentle Healing. I didn't hear very much, and woke up kind of on the couch, like, oh man, I'm just going to bed. So I knocked it off about 9 o'clock and went to sleep. It's been long days, and I've been remiss with my reading the last couple of days, and contemplating too. I don't have a thing to share on that, but I do have, just the life experiences of the process of moving. And again, I have a very strong belief that moving is quite difficult. So it's been really hot. Not right at this moment. The picture of this moment, and I'll just share it with you because it's so worth sharing. Like I said, I'm sitting on the couch and grateful for that, and I'm looking out a window in my bedroom that looks out onto this. It's really just a pond, and the pond is fed by the rain. It's not like a forever pond where you're guaranteed to see water all the time, but it rains a lot in Florida. And so right now there's like a if you can envision this, it looks like a couple sandbars, and there's these white ibis birds that kind of feed in this pond. There's little baby frogs, and there's pink ones. They're kind of like the albinos of the white ibis. I don't know a lot about in wood storks, and it's lightly raining right now, so they're walking by the window, which is about, oh, I don't know, maybe my window looks out on this water's probably about, I'm gonna say, I'm a golfer, so I'm just gonna say like maybe a wedge away. Me at least. No, not pink frogs, pink birds. White ibis are white, but amongst these white ibis, you'll see a pink one, and it looks almost like a, not quite as colorful as say a flamingo, but like pink, decidedly pink. So I call them the albinos because most of them are white. That's why my street is called White Ibis Run. And apparently these birds love to hang out in this retention pond is basically what it is. And right now it's only about 4 inches deep. So they can just kind of meander through this water, which they do, looking for, food. And they're so fun to see. They're just fun to see. So, and beyond that is like a conservation area that will not be developed. And so I have a very beautiful view, and I feel grateful for that. I really feel grateful for that. It's quiet. I'm finally in. You guys will get a kick out of it. I did a lot of the small box moving myself, kind of sticking it into the rooms where it needed to go. And I'm a real organized person, probably more than most, I would say. And so I like to know, like if somebody says, my husband said to me, for instance, when they were setting up the cable so we could have access to the internet before he left today to go off on a business trip. And I wanted to be here to share with you guys. I definitely have missed to the degree that I normally listen in the room and all. I've missed that. And so that was kind of a priority. At the same time, it takes a lot of effort to make those things happen. And so my husband said to me, where is the, he said to me, do you know the password for the, I'm not good with internet stuff. I'm not good with internet stuff. The password for the TV stuff, or I don't know, some long number. And I have all that written down somewhere. And I knew where it was and I found it right away. And so I'm kind of just an organized person. I have a pattern that I don't know. I'm just weird that way. It just makes my life easier to be organized, I guess. But it does take a lot of effort to make that happen. And so with that being said, I did a lot of the boxing myself and was able to kind of spread things out. And we had some after closing work done. So there's been plumbers in and out and countertop people in and out and movers in and out. And one of the things I noticed about the movers, my husband was sort of coordinating that piece of it from a rental. We moved from a rental just a mile away, but it's still a shuffle. And with all the madness going on and the chaos going on in the house, it's almost like I'm playing that role of the organized one, which I am naturally. Is helpful in the process. And it was freaking hot. I mean, yesterday, the move day, it was really hot and hot all week. So I had empathy for these movers. And I said to my husband, hey, if you can just organize it this way, you know, put this couch on. I was trying to control the situation. Truly, I was trying, I noticed it, but in my mind, I was trying to be helpful, truly, I to make it easy for the movers, because furniture is heavy. Furniture's heavy, and somebody's got to lift it. I mean, they have, you know, the dollies and all that, too, but sometimes it's just a matter of lifting it, and it's heavy, and it was so hot. And my heart was just like, oh, man, it's hard work. And I was so appreciating the people that do that work. And noticing also reflecting on Reverend Becky's Sunday's sharing around Mary and Martha. And man, I'm telling you what, I was hyper Martha-ing. But I was able to notice that and not get too crabby patty. Sometimes when I'm hungry, if I haven't taken the time to, stop and eat, And I was running between the houses, and you'll laugh. I'll just tell you one funny story, and then we'll go on. We were still at the rental, and my husband lovingly had asked me. He said, "I'll move your closet of clothes if you'd like." And I said, "That would be great," because his car was a whole lot cleaner than mine. And so I had laid out some extra clothes so I could shower at the rental and have clean clothes. Well, he scooped them all up. And so when I went home later that evening to shower, I had no clean clothes. So my husband said, "I have an extra clean pair of underwear and a t-shirt." And I said, "That works." And then I discovered that I didn't have my glasses. So I made the decision. I knew I was making this choice when I made it to drive over to our new house in men's underwear and a t-shirt and a pair of flip-flops and hope I didn't get pulled over in the mile that I had to go or have an accident or get stopped or crazy senior citizen in men's underwear. I mean, honest to God. And I knew I was making that choice, but I can see. I can't see without my glasses. Oh my God. So I was laughing, driving very carefully from one place to the next to, oh my God. Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. I loved his underwear. They were really comfortable. They were like these kind of boxer sort of things, sort of silky. They were really nice, but I don't need the pouch. So, yeah. And they roll up like in women's clothes, they just don't work. They roll up inside at any rate. Yeah. So that's what I wanted to share with you. Yeah, just on the funny side of it, And I was reflecting on having some anxiety about my, what am I going to share? I don't even know. I don't even know what I'm volunteering for with this. I don't know. What is it called? Board of directors, or I don't even know. Like a supporting member, or what is it called that I got nominated for? I don't even know. I haven't even taken the time to figure out what it is I've accepted. I said yes to something, and I'm not even really sure what I'm supposed. Oh, trustee. Thank you, Jacqueline, for helping me out. A trustee. So I was, and think this coming Sunday, I'm supposed to say something, and I'm not even really sure what that is. It's almost like I feel like when I was a kid, the best thing about church, one of the best things about church was when we'd have a visiting, like priest or a visiting, somebody from another, especially it was great when they came from another country and or they had an accent, or they were like totally out of the realm of what was my little bubble. Excuse me, I'm really dry. I may have to stop. He's hooked. Excuse me, and go get some bottled water. Hang on, guys. Be patient with me. Maybe you can play like a song so I can get some water, Cheryl. That'd be great. I'll drop the mic.
Kiss of sunlight. its fragrance, its beauty, its life, in complete surrender. It lets go into the unknown. Welcome to
Okay, am I back? Oh, thanks. I am like way behind on responsible water drinking for sure. We didn't have, I've been drinking bottled water because our water here is not very, very good to drink. Ugh, I can't do it. So at any rate, the filtration system has been worked out and yeah, soft water, so you don't end up with the calcium rings in the toilets and sinks and tubs, and yeah, soft water for the skin, so that's more stuff to be grateful for. But you know, the thing I'm most grateful for is the joining that happens in this space, the joining that, you know, flows even in the relationships, the brief relationships you have with the people that are coming and going in your home. And certainly noticing my own attitude as well as their attitude. And interesting, you know, the couple of kids that did our local move, you know, strong. You have to be strong to do that kind of work. And they were sweating like my husband, sweating like hostages. It was really, really hard and tough. And initially, kind of the bigger guy sort of had an attitude with me, and I was a bit caught off guard because, again, I was trying to make the situation easier for him ultimately. And he then in turn made a point to me that would involve him having to set that furniture down one more time. And you know what? That totally changed the way my need to organize or to control things completely flipped when he said that, because I wasn't looking at it from his perspective. I didn't even think about him setting it down, really. I was, you know, doing this hyper-organizing in my own mind, trying to make it easier, and I really made it more complicated. So it just goes to show that, you know, stay out of it. Let other people do what they do. Let them do what they do. And my husband, on the other hand, is, you know, helping them to be organized as well, because we want it to go as smoothly as possible. And he kind of arrived with sort of an attitude. And one of the things I noticed that I feel grateful for was my husband's attitude in general is, he calls it herding the turtles, but he does it in such a loving manner, yet in aid, what I'm going to call, he comes from a military family. And so he has a little, I call him the general sometimes. I think his grandfather was like a general in the Navy, an admiral in the Navy, God forbid. I'm not a military person, forgive me. I don't know all that kind of stuff, but he has that sort of, I call him the admiral every once in a while, like a sternness in directing to get things done. And, you know, it can work to your benefit, but he infuses it with so much love that by the end, And me too. I mean, I get that it's a hard day and I get that their jobs are difficult and I get that, you know, they're sweating their butts off and I get that, you know, it is what it is. And extending love continuously during those hard processes is really helpful. It just is. And so I struck up a conversation with, you know, the guy that I considered kind of a hard when he first came in and was questioning me like, and why did you want it done this way? You know, with that sort of a tone. And you're like, excuse me? You know, I thought I was trying to be helpful. I'm sorry if it didn't turn out that way. You made your point. So now just continue on in whatever way is easiest for you. I'm not trying to make it more difficult, but I obviously did. So I had to own that, you know, just keep out of it. Keep out of it. Do what you do and allow people to do what they do. You can't control everything or anything for that matter. But the point is, when you're extending love in those situations, he noted, I try to find the connection. There's got to be a connection there somehow. I've been in boxes all week, sweating myself. I know how that feels. So, you know, be kind, strike up. These are my brothers and sisters. They're not doing anything that I haven't done. And I'm no better than they are. And they're no more than I am. We're just working together to try to get this done and, you know, get to know each other. And so we struck up a conversation over my plants of all things. He creates staghorn ferns and sells them. So it was lovely to have a connection with him, and he gave me his card, and my husband tipped them handsomely, and it was one of those relationships that A Course in Miracles talks about, where, you know, somebody comes into your life and for a short space of time, and it can start off rocky, but you have a holy relationship in the end. And it's only because there's my husband's, like, you know, extending love while he's doing what he does best. And I'm extending love while I'm doing what I do best. And they were ultimately doing the same thing. So it's nice to have those connections, even if they're brief. And I do notice them. And I do notice the shift in the attitude as well. So, you know, that goes on. At any rate, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So going back to the trustee thing. Oh my God, I feel like a derelict. Because I don't even really know what a trustee does. You know, I don't even know. It really wasn't my intention to necessarily, like, I don't even know. I don't even know. I don't even know. I'll just let it go at that. But yeah. I'm just going to let it go with that. I want to get to the reading of Experience Your Perfect Soul. Hang on, I'm going to take a drink of water. So, okay, I'm going to start with the prayer from NTI Acts chapter 1 that says, Father, I do not know what is best for me now in this time and this place, that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path, I am ready to walk. Take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do in joy and peace and certainty. And in this I trust. And I was, when I was listening to Anne, which was kind of in a half-assed manner. And that's what comes to me right here and now, because I was full of distractions. And hopefully I'll be able to listen to the recording as I'm able to be more still and more still and more still and more still. But at any rate, my mind was wandering, right? My mind has just been, oh my God. I will be glad to offload a lot of the activity, trust me, and just to kick my feet up and relax. And so, again, Anne was, I heard her talk about being the empty shell. And when Reverend Rebecca was sharing about the Martha and marrying and having that kind of be the very active one as opposed to the one at the feet of Jesus, and the truth of self, of real self, is before that, before both of those positions. Those are still points of positioning, you know, and one is neither greater or lesser than the other. And so what occurred to me, because they were, you know, M&Ms, Martha and Mary, I was thinking of M&Ms and how that casing or that shell on an M&M, that shiny shell is the trust. And you bite through that little crispy goodness into that, you know, wonderful chocolate center. And that's where that's the empty piece of it. That's the goodness. And so when she was talking on Sunday, Reverend Rebecca, the M&Ms came to me, and then Anne was also referring to the empty shell. I like that that picture. That idea of trust being that, you know, kind of shiny thin coating that's absolutely necessary, in which everything happens within that trust, within that trust. And kind of cracking through that trust to having that be the direct experience all the time, not just the once in a while. Or, yeah, trusting, really trusting. Okay, I'm gonna go to. And I'm not I've not been very attentive to the board. So if you guys have been talking to me, you're screwed. We have been reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul, A Joyful Path to Self-Realization, and we are on the last chapter, which is chapter 7. And it is dedicated to Elise Morgan. And these are direct path quotes that were chosen by Michael Langford. This is a Michael Langford book, Experience Your Perfect Soul. And I believe we left off on page 261. I gotta get some more water, guys. I'm like. I'm really froggy, but it's funny to say because we have these tiny, sweet, maybe, I don't know, inch tall baby froggies, and they're sometimes like on the window, like looking in, and I'm looking out. And And they're sweet. They're like on the lanai, and they just hang there. So I kind of talk to them as I come and go. Very cute. So we are on a section called Drink of Joy. Oh yeah, Karen. Oh, thanks, Karen. Here, I thought you were being clever, and you were. Thank you so much. You guys keep me on point. Yeah, sweet. Yeah. And I had a little cactus that was, I don't know, maybe a couple feet tall, and it had a little partner next to it that was maybe a foot tall, and it was slender, like a slender cactus, kind of spiky. And I had laid it down in a like a plastic storage box sort of a thing, on a damp cloth to send across the country. And it got shuffled into a box somehow. And so it was in a dark box in a hot garage in the rental for 6 months. And I just kind of dismissed it, like, because I had found all of the other plants when I was unpacking and had no problem. But one kind of disappeared, and I was like, oh, you know, well, all in all, I did really well with my plants. And yesterday, lo and behold, I opened this sucker up and it was still alive. It was still alive. And so I gave it a really sweet home and repotted it and fresh soil and told that I loved it and brushed it off and stood it upright. And you know, that's how it goes. That's sometimes it seems dark and we have to brush ourselves off and you know, put our foundation back in the ground and give it some water and you know, some love and tell it you're grateful it made it and just all of that. I mean, it's really for me important to express that in that particular form. So that was like a little gift for me. So this first piece, Return to the Garden of Limitless Life. I was like amazed that this cactus, which, you know, supposedly the belief is that they need sun. They need sun, you know, full sun all the time. That's how cactus are. And generally that is the case. And this sucker was able to manage in complete darkness in without even being in soil. It was, you know, it had its root system, but I mean, 6 months later and in the dark, and it was like, oh, I'm stoked. And so I rescued it. Yeah, I rescued it. I was like, oh, you made it. And it's, you know, a little on the yellowy side, but I'm telling you, it should re really just, you know, suck it up and soak it up and be fine. So again, the next line is drink of joy this day. And that's kind of how I felt when I planted it. It was like, ah, oh, here's some really good Miracle-Gro cactus soil for you. And I'm going to give you the best home ever. And you made it through. I'm going to help you be the best that you can be. The best that you can be. And so I'm always happy to do that. And so there it is. Drink of the joy this day, for the day of life is here. The day of life is here. I'm going to give you a foundation. It's up to you from here on out. And that's how I feel about Awakening Together. It's like a foundation. I just love our foundation. I so feel home in the foundation of Awakening Together and our core values and our sharing together here. And I can't wait to see some of you on our trip to Italy. I'm like just really stoked about that time of silence and contemplation and like an intensive, I mean, really an intensive where, I can be in the presence of presence and also be with the forms through which that presence will flow, I'm sure. So go into the inner chamber frequently. Oh, yeah, I remember that, the inner chamber. Oh, yeah, the inner chamber. Makes me think of Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. I noticed that Harry Potter was like, there was some marathon, Harry Potter marathon, and a couple of nights I fell asleep to, you know, Harry Potter. got to see Voldemort and, oh my gosh. And also the inner chamber of my Catholic youth, you know, go into the inner chamber frequently. Speak little when with others. And that one is a challenge for me. I'm probably, that's maybe why they had that doll, Chatty Cathy. Do you remember that doll back from the 60s that was called Chatty Cathy? I think my mom got me one of those dolls. And I'm more on the chatty side, but I do really enjoy quiet time for sure. So hopefully I'll have a little bit of that. My husband doesn't come home until Friday, so it will be very quiet in the house. Hopefully listening to all of the speakers and on Awakening Together Radio and being able to stay up past 8:30. Okay. Yeah. Inner chamber time. Exactly, Karen. I hear you're going off to Aham, and I'm happy for you. I know you really very much enjoy that quiet time. Karen, in case some of you don't know, Karen is on the quiet side of life. And so when she and I converse, I've really enjoyed our relationship in that I have a soul sister that we can speak of, and I'm just going to say higher minded frequency conversations, which I totally appreciate. And I've learned so much from Karen from her exposure at Aham. So I'm very open to that. And yes, have enjoyed learning from Karen Worth. I love you, Karen Worth. So the mind must be serene. And I wanted to say too, Karen, I appreciate you sharing from the practices from Arunachala Ramana and the practices. I don't know if they come. Oops, I just dropped my book. I don't know if they come from. I don't know what they come from. At any rate, I've enjoyed them. But I have not meditated in the last couple of days. So I've missed that quiet time. And I definitely am going to enjoy some of that, especially now that I have water in my kitchen sink. It makes things a little easier. So I think my plumber may have just left. But back to the reading, I asked him to let himself out, and I trust that he knows how to do that. So the mind must be serene. Nope, he just came back in. So my mind isn't quite serene yet, but I'm here with you, and I'm also listening. Yeah. Now you must gain ascendancy, the idea of a separate self. And the you must gain ascendancy is speaking to the truth of who I am. You must gain that ascendancy. Stay with that ascendancy. There is no separate self. It's just an idea. The higher-minded self, the ascended self, is before that notion of a separated self, even if that is my direct experience. You know, the separated self is still working in the world as Mary and Martha. But I'm trying to be the empty shell, trusting that my attention on the trust and on the willingness to listen and on extending love and, you know, being still, which I'm so, again, so happy to be able to access that in a more direct way now. That is where the gaining of ascendancy comes, you know, being in that still place and asking for the guidance and listening and becoming more in tune with the Christ in my brothers and sisters ones, you know, right now walking in and out of my door, you know, wanting to be crabby with me and me, you know, instinctively wanting to be crabby back, but knowing that two crabby pats is no freaking party. We're all hot and sweaty too. Like that's really going to work out well. I mean, why would I do that? Nobody gains. And remembering, you know, overriding that initial reaction of, in my mind, what the hell's up with your attitude? You know, I was trying to be helpful, dude. I wasn't trying to, you know, tell you how to do your job, but essentially I was trying to tell him how to do his job. And I had to look at that. And he was the one that showed it to me. And to move past it, you know, once you notice those, or once I noticed it, and he made his point, and I totally had like a shift in perception of, wow, I didn't think about it that way. I got more on the ball, trying to be more helpful to him. So I could bless him for showing me that piece of myself. Because it came up too. And in the end, they did a terrific job. They weren't banging walls and breaking shit and none of that. I mean, they were brothers. So again, this directive, I feel like it's a directive. Now you gain ascendancy over the idea of a separate self, because the separate self was the one that, you know, initially had an attitude in my mind and he had an attitude in his mind. And you have that little butting of heads that goes on. And, you know, am I going to stop and reflect on that and know that that doesn't work? It doesn't work. It doesn't feel good for me. And I'm not trying to be right here. I'm just trying to get my shit in the house safely. So I would be wise to befriend him. He is my friend. I just had a moment of, you know, lunacy. And to me, that's what, you know, gaining ascendancy means. The more I notice that lunacy arise and just, you know, kind of getting a peek of it and asking, you know, what choice would you make here? Are you going to drive in men's underwear and a t-shirt and flip-flops for a mile or not? I mean, you know what I'm saying. So now you must gain ascendancy over the idea of a separate self. Walk forth in pure, untrammeled love. And I think Jacqueline last week put the word trammeled, or looked up the word trammeled for me. And I can't even remember what it meant from last week, because I think I read halfway down into this section last week. Walk forth in pure, untrammeled love. Undo all burdens and let them softly drop away. Undo the vestments. Untrammeled, here it comes. I have such a cool support system. Thank you, Jacqueline, who just moved herself across the country and drove the truck, which I've done that gig too. So I get it, sister. Untrammeled means not deprived of freedom of action or expression. Not restricted or hampered. So walk forth in pure, unrestricted love. Yeah, unrestricted love. Yeah, and you know, that's that, you know, the restricted love is that thought that occurs in the mind, like, what the hell's his attitude all about? You know, what the hell's his attitude all about? And I'm the one at that moment with the attitude, the restricted love. I'm not willing to extend, you know, just an open arm, open invitation, see this as an opportunity to let this arise and, you know, let it kind of float out like a bubble out the top of your head and decide not to, you know, just like see it pop. You know how bubbles have that beautiful rainbowy, glittery piece of them, and then they pop and they're done, they're over. See those kinds of thoughts, those kind of reactions, and let them go. That kind of love. Love that's not restricted, that's freely expressed in action. So again, walk forth. And I like also the way of the human way as well, walk forth, where the words are used, you know, to reflect my experience. It feels like I'm walking around a human body, separate self sometimes. And it's asking me to gain ascendancy over that idea, over these beliefs, you know, moving is hard. And walk forth in pure, unrestricted love. Undo all burdens and let them softly drop away. Undo the vestments of false pretense. I freaking love that one. False pretense. Sometimes I would say on a personal level, I probably err on, like Jay used the term yesterday during his contemplative sharing, and he's a guy, so he used the word being ballsy, I have a strong male-ish ballsy side as well, and my family, I swear a lot. I'll just put it out there. I swear a lot in my home, in my, you know, interactions. It's like a normal thing for me. And so false pretense, the vestments of false pretense. So my neighbors around here, sometimes I wonder what they must think. But I don't know. it's just, I don't know, it's almost comfortable for me to try to restrict that in any way. Feels like a false pretense. Yet it talks about vested, you know, like you're wearing a vest, like it's some layer of clothing. I have all kinds of false pretenses, I'm sure. But the one that comes up is, you know, just that, like Jay said, that ballsiness. And it's asking me to undo the vestments of false pretense, including the one I just mentioned about, you know, swearing a lot. That's a pretense too, even though I like it. It's like, you know, when I think very lovingly of like my grandmother, paternal grandmother, she used to swear all the time, and they'd be drinking beer and playing cards and, you know, swearing, and the kids would be running around the house and having a great time. And so it has no it doesn't feel offensive in my mind. And that's just on a personal note. Yeah, no negative energy to it. Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I can rip off with a negative F-bomb for sure. But you know, usually it's more in frustration or something, and whatever. I mean, I don't criticize myself for that. I'm okay with that. So that's a Kathyism. Undo the vestments of false pretense. You know, those cloaks like Harry Potter, the invisibility cloak. I want that cloak. Yeah. Loosen the garments of cloaked insincerity. Yeah. Cheryl's saying, I worked with men most of my career. I learned to gain a potty as well. Yes. I worked in a steel mill, so moons ago. But yeah, so there, I was not uncomfortable in that environment, although it was, you know, I worked in an office inside a steel mill. It was a little rough. At any rate, loosen the garments of cloaked insincerity. Again, that reference to like clothing, vestments, clothing, cloaked, false, pretenses, insincere, being told to undo that, undo those burdens, but let them softly drop away. It's not about, you know, criticizing ourselves for whatever our tendency is. I had to laugh because one time my husband and I were at A Course in Miracles gathering in Southern California. And I think John Mundy was the facilitator. I know John Mundy was the facilitator, and I love John Mundy. He was the facilitator at this particular gathering. And he was referencing in a, and I've made reference to this before because my husband and I got such a kick out of it. There was some sort of a judgment around people that swear, and he's like, you know, and he asked for a poll of, you know, the maybe 20 some people that were in the room, and you know, who uses language like that? And both my husband and I like raised our hand, and nobody else did, nobody in the rest of the room. And I was actually laughing like I am now, because again, it's, I don't have a judgment around that, but you know, some people do, so that's fine too. But yeah, I still lovingly think of my grandma swearing, playing cards, and drinking beer. Yep. Just regular people. Yep, regular loving people. I'm going to finish with this. Take long, deep breaths of divine content. divine content. Again, that M&M shell. I think of the chocolate center as the divine content. All of it, whatever seems to be appearing, whatever is not appearance, what's before, what I understand to be appearance, all of it is divine content. All of it. Take deep breaths of divine content. Nothing is lost. Nothing is too late. Nothing is too difficult of attainment. Every trace is redeemed as love flows in the soul. And I see that it's 2:59, and I'm going to end there. I have to hit the bathroom. I think my plumber is wrapping up, and I'm starting next week on the top of page 262, Cheryl. Thanks for joining me, guys. I'm going to be listening in as I start Martha-ing again. So, see you guys. Talk to you soon.